Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Most footwear brands use cheaper synthetic materials, but when it comes to quality, Mother Nature knows best. Allbirds took that idea and ran with their iconic wool runners. Wool runners are made with premium supernatural materials that are comfy and durable, so you can run to the ends of the earth or just to the store. Plus, they're machine washable. This year, take a big step forward for Mother Nature with Allbirds Wool Runner. Discover your perfect pair today at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.
So I switched to Boost Mobile and got this free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone.
Why do you think they call it the Galaxy?
Maybe because the Samsung Galaxy A23 has a huge screen, and galaxies are huge gravitationally bound systems of stars rotating around a supermassive black hole.
And the phone is free?
When you switch to Boost Mobile.
Cool. You lost me at gravitationally bound.
Switch to Boost and get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power. Limited time offer while supplies last. New customers only. Excludes tax. One device offer per line. Only available on certain networks. 5G not available everywhere. Additional restrictions apply. See local Boost Mobile store for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Singer-songwriter Tom Galloway was born in Georgia and raised in Texas and currently resides in Nashville, where he is honing his craft of songwriting and storytelling. He has been involved in several recording projects throughout the years, including fronting several southern rock bands. His latest album, out in May, entitled Wreckage, is a deep dive into Galloway's songwriting past. Tom joins us for this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about that record and his musical journey.
Hi, Tom. Welcome to the podcast today.
Hey, sir. How's it going?
Great. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us a little bit. You are in Nashville, is that right?
Yes, sir. I've been here about 6 years now.
Okay. Not home then originally, obviously.
No, I'm originally I was born in Atlanta, and I went to school at UGA, so I lived in Athens, Georgia for a good bit, and then eventually just kind of felt it was the right move to head to Nashville for a bit. So I've moved about 2015, I think.
Okay.
Over here. So yeah, it's been fun.
How long were you were in Texas, right, for a while?
So I grew up there from like about 4 till 15, so.
Okay.
Yeah, in a small town in Texas called Tyler, Texas. Oh. And, it was, Texas is cool.
Where did you catch the music bug?
I would say maybe it was, from my father, definitely from my father, just him playing music all the time in the house. But, maybe Austin, Texas, to be honest, going there with him and my family and seeing some live music there was pretty cool, and just seeing how people reacted to music as when I was just like young, like, wow, my dad is really paying attention to this band, like maybe I should start doing
that. Wow, that's cool to be that conscious of what people think of your dad, especially what he thinks of music as a younger person, to pay attention to that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he would always have just instruments around the house, and just, I'm really fortunate his musical taste kind of just, it's like classic rock, but then, soul and, R&B, like, you know, the whole full spectrum. So it wasn't just listening to one genre of music growing up. It was kind of everything, which was great.
When did it become obvious to you that this was something you wanted to pursue?
I would say around 15 or 16. Like I had a band in high school, and we did some fun stuff, and it was kind of, I was playing drums at the time and singing, and we were just kind of figuring things out, and it was, you know, definitely an amateur type of band, but I think it was around my college band Mama's Love, when we started hearing people singing along to the lyrics, like in the crowd, that was kind of like really cool to me. And I was just like, man, I want to keep this going.
Yeah. That's awesome. Have you been able to, or have you worked yourself into this is your full-time career?
Man, for a minute it was like that band Mama's Love. We were on the road full time several years, and it was fun. When I moved to Nashville, though, I kind of dialed back that a bit and just kind of been trying to grind it here in Nashville, more focusing on songwriting and just putting out music. So, you know, it's not as full time as it used to be, but it's still like my number one passion.
Mm-hmm. So you mean doing music as writing music as the profession, or doing that while you're doing some other occupation?
Yeah, I guess just it's just not as like, we're not like, I'm not out on the road every week.
Yeah. Okay.
Like it used to be.
Yeah. It's harder anyway. I think the pandemic changed a lot of things for a lot of musicians.
Oh yeah. I feel like it cut down on the musician population. Like I feel like a lot of bands kind of maybe gave up right after that.
Yeah.
And
can you tell the change in Nashville? Do you feel it's different post pandemic?
I mean, it's like the CMT stuff's going on this week, and I saw some pictures of downtown. It was just full on. Like, it was even like downtown was still kind of crazy during the pandemic. I mean, some people just didn't really care,
right? Yeah,
about it. But no, it definitely had a lag there for a minute, at least for a year, almost 2 years, I guess. But I guess the live music's starting to come back, and it's been nice to play a few shows out.
You have a couple different bands you play with, is that right? Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, sir. Yep. So the record I just put out is just under my name, Tom Galloway.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few records out under that, which is just kind of the solo stuff. And when I moved to Nashville, I started playing with this band called Meridine. The guitarist that started that band played in my old band, Mama's Love. And we also we did a record last year that we put out called Soul. And so between those, let's see. I play in a country cover band here called Stampede. We do like classic country stuff, okay, which is fun.
Yeah, cool.
Then another band called Potato Gun Canyon, and it's a three-piece acoustic band that does focuses on like harmonies and stuff. Like we love like Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Oh,
and,
cool. Okay.
Yeah, stuff like that. So just kind of trying to stay busy, but I guess my focus recently is just has been on this record that just came out, you know, focusing on the solo stuff.
Yeah. And you've got a pretty interesting story connected to this album too, right? As far as where the songs originally came from, or at least part of them.
Yeah. So as I was saying, Mama's Love, it went through a few different iterations of band members, but it was around 2014 that the group that was playing at that time, we had decided to go to Charleston for a week to record at our buddy's studio there. And we had a full album in mind, and we got all the basic tracks done. And then we were going to finish it up back in Athens. And then we never really got around to finishing it. And people went their separate ways, and a couple of us moved to Nashville, and it kind of just got put on the back burner for several years.
Yeah.
And it was actually kind of COVID, just hanging out of the house, like going through old stuff, that I found the hard drive in the closet and actually used as an excuse, like, hey, I'm gonna get, because I could only listen to it through Pro Tools, and I was like, why don't I do a little Pro Tools trial and plug it up and listen to it and kind of try to get it to a point where I can give it to my producer to keep going with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was a process, but it was we got it running up here in Nashville, and my buddy Dan Davis, who did my last solo record, helped me kind of piece it together and polish it up, because it took some time. There was a lot of like work to be done with it still. More work than we thought it would be, but we were just talking yesterday how after kind of like stepping back after it's been released and listening to it with fresh ears, like I think we're both proud of it. So
yeah, so you kind of had a full catalog of songs to work with, so it was fairly at least the first level of it was fairly complete then.
Yeah, so yeah, all the basic tracks, we didn't have to, the bass player who still plays with me for solo stuff, his name's Bill Baker, he didn't have to overdub anything, we just kept it, like, he never has to overdub, it's pretty yeah. righteous, but,
that's cool.
And, let's see, the drums stayed the same, we had the keyboardists redo some stuff, and we redid all the vocals, and there's like four different guitarists throughout the record, which is pretty cool, because it's like trying to figure out who's playing what.
Yeah,
just, you know, from their tone and whatnot, and it's like, I don't know, it's just a really good eclectic collection of sounds, I guess.
Are these all originals, songs that you wrote originally?
So all of them are originals. There's one on there called Hey Little Angel that the keyboard player, Ross Bogan, brought to the table back in the day, back mm-hmm. in 14. And it was one of our favorite songs to play live. Mm. And I heard that when I plugged it up to Pro Tools, and it was just like, really, I was just like, I got to put this one out too. So I just hit him up and made sure it was cool. And yeah, we added that to the middle of the record.
Hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
When did songwriting become a thing for you? When was that part of your pursuit of music?
Probably back around, like, yeah, 15 or 16.
So in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, it was just, I didn't really know what I was doing singing. I'm not sure I still really know, but I knew that, and I also knew and I was a drummer at the time, and my dad would always, I think I get the joke, is that Yeah, the one thing that's never said in the music business is whose Porsche is that in the front yard? Oh my God, I'm butchering this. Basically, a drummer never drives a Porsche because they don't make any money.
Okay.
but it was just kind of like, I'm not going to be the best singer in the world. I'm not going to be the best drummer in the world. What can I do that's unique for myself? And
mm-hmm.
I feel like just writing was kind of a natural thing that came out pretty easily. Definitely had to work on it and still have to work on it every day. But it's the one thing I've found the most joy in from music in general, is just the writing and the crafting of everything.
We're going to take a quick break from the interview. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
Do you have a particular style or process that you follow? I find that every songwriter seems to come at the craft a little bit different.
Yeah, I think it's important to try to put time aside and regiment some time.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like to do sometimes, or especially when I do get in a nice routine, is in the morning just kind of do a free write situation.
Hmm.
Just a few lines. It doesn't even have to like rhyme per se. Just something to get your mind working.
Mm-hmm.
And but then what I really find is the best stuff just comes throughout the day at random times, and I'll just kind of make a note or a voice recording and then go back and work it out. It's always, I feel like whenever something really good comes, I'm not intentionally thinking about it. It's just kind of like I just grab it from something.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's kind of a perpetual process for you versus setting aside time once a week or something.
Yeah, more or less. But then also in Nashville, there's a lot of co-writings that go on, and I should be better about that. But a lot of times I just like to get in there by myself and work it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say one of my favorite co-writers in town, Daniel Allen, he plays with a band called the Vagabonds were putting a duo album out this summer called Allen and Galloway.
Hmm.
And it has like some really good, or some of the best co-written songs I've been a part of.
Yeah, that's cool.
Should be fun.
So the current album is called Wreckage. Do you have a plan yet on how you're going to support that playing out? Is that a solo type effort when you take it out, or do you have a band that will go out with you on those particular songs?
Man, so we just did a album release show for it, and it was a full band thing, and
awesome.
It was really great to have the full band because, you know, the few shows that I've been doing 2020, 2021 were usually just acoustic solo or maybe a duo, but it was really cool to recently play some gigs out with like a full band and drums, and it's just like such a different vibe, and almost like I just think it's a lot better.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're looking into some shows for the summer and then, you know, the fall and stuff like that. But yeah, I guess I was telling you about that duo album. I'm trying to get that done this month.
Uh-huh.
So
okay. Is this particular group with this music, is it a festival type act, or is it more of a auditorium bar kind of band?
I'd love to do some festivals, and we can definitely, I mean, it's like, it's a band that we focus on the songs, but they can also play really well. And if you want to extend a section, like a, you know, let people go off on some solos, we like to do that too live. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So you've got the new project that you're working on, and you hope to have that out. Do you have a date for that you'd like to get that out?
I think we're looking for that to be done by the end of this. We want to have it out before the end of the summer because there's a couple like summertime songs, you could say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. That shouldn't be too far. We're almost done with it.
And so you guys will play out together then in support of that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yep.
What's on your bucket list? What's the long term? What's the future look like for you as a musician? Do you have things yet that you'd like to accomplish that you haven't done? What are you working towards?
I mean, yeah, there's plenty of stuff. Like some of like venues I've always wanted to play. Like my dream would be to, this is weird, but my dream would be to play on Saturday Night Live. It's like favorite TV show. And
that's cool. I've never heard anybody say that before. It's always like, you know, they play at the Ryman or
Rockefeller.
Or the Grand Ole Opry or something. But Saturday Night Live's a new one. I love it.
Yeah. I would also say, though, probably second would be Red Rocks Amphitheater would be awesome.
Yeah.
In Colorado.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'll take the Ryman. Come on.
Yeah, right? what iteration of your music do you think would be appropriate or fit with Saturday Night Live?
I guess you got to write a hit for that. So I'm still trying to find that one.
I think I read where you also play with a Southern rock band. Maybe that would be the one to take to Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. I've seen a few. That's cool. I mean, a lot of this stuff now, and it's just kind of like the thing about SNL is it shows like what's popular now, that it's like a lot of it's kind of not my thing. I don't know. But then every now and then they put like a nice rock band in there or a country band or just kind of like an actual band and not just some electronic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a particular genre that you play that's your favorite? I hear that you kind of bounce around a little bit with different styles of music. Is any one of them more of a favorite over another?
I feel like I'm gravitating towards like an Americana rock thing, kind of like I love Tom Petty, Neil Young,
yeah,
that type of like. And it's, and most of the stuff that I really love is like, you know, it's from the 60s and 70s, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say if that'll come back around, but it's just kind of like what I gravitate towards naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean,
what's cool that a lot of those bands are actually still playing with as many of the original artists as they can. You know, America, the band America, is playing here soon, and they're on tour. And of course, you got the Eagles and several other of those 70s acts. Even, you know, of course, Kiss is still on their farewell tour 3 years later. But, you know, you don't, it's more rare to hear some of the newer, more recent acts that are still together. And so I think that kind of helps fuel the younger interest in some of that more, you know, what we called 70s rock is actually kind of Americana rock now.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
And I think that it's about time for the Southern rock band feel to come back around, too. That's just my personal opinion.
I'd love it. Yeah. Who are some of your favorite Southern rock bands?
You know, of course, Skinner, 38 Special, you know, those kinds of that kind of feel, you know, get a little out further, you know, into the fringes, Black Oak, Arkansas, and, you know, some Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, you know, some of those kinds of different rock, folk rock bands of the 70s. I grew up with that music, so I, you know, I love that sound, and I really enjoy when a new band chooses to cover one or two of those songs. I feel like it just kind of puts an exclamation point on the music that they're playing.
Dang, that might be the next move right there.
Yeah.
Pick a nice cover from that time.
Yeah.
But I love some Fishing in the Dark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I spend a lot of time in different genres, and it's been a thing maybe more recently, but I think kind of as, at least in the recent history, for bluegrass bands to go grab a 70s AM classic rock song and work a bluegrass version of that into their set. It's always a crowd pleaser because a lot of the people that attend those events are, you know, 40 and up. And so they just dig it when a bluegrass band will pull out a 70s song and, you know, have their own version of it. So yeah, it's always cool when that happens.
Absolutely. I've been, just recently, I guess after Memorial Day, I've got the Jimmy Buffett fever right now.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
But by saying that, it's like the early, like his early stuff, which was like, I think it was like in the early 70s, maybe mid 70s, but like,
yeah,
that stuff was just really,
yeah,
really good and like sometimes overlooked maybe because, you know, you think like Margaritaville and there's a lot more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that one's oversaturated anyway, so anytime you can pick up something else, our true fans are going to recognize it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So are you have anything else in the works beyond this duo? Are you still writing songs for a future project?
Yeah, just still, you know, just keeping the process going,
yeah.
Trying to trust in the process and trying to get out there as much as possible. Yeah, it was really cathartic and good to just put this old record that's kind of been on my like kind of like a small load on my shoulders that it's like I always wanted to put it out, and
yeah.
It's just good to finally have that done.
Yeah.
And then it's just like do as much as I can to promote that release, which we're doing right now, and I really appreciate your help on that. And but then just moving forward and picking the next favorite songs and trying to put those out, and
yeah,
you know,
that's cool.
Yeah.
So the new record is called Wreckage, and how can folks get in touch with you, get a copy of the record, if there's videos, where's the best place to get all the communication things going with you?
Yeah, so there's just tomgalloway.net is just the website, but all the stuff is on all your just like, you know, digital music channels, Spotify. I always try to get people to go to that. You can find me anywhere.
Yeah.
Online.
And it's GALLOWAY, Tom Galloway.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, Tom. Enjoyed talking to you today, and wish you well with this new record.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Life's never felt so expensive, and most people are cautious about spending. But IKEA's always been the smart choice for creating beautiful homes, on a budget. Right now, IKEA family members can save even more, with an extra 5% in-store on eligible purchases. Visit IKEA-USA.com/family for more details. Offer valid starting September 1st, 2022. Limited to qualifying purchases. Exclusions apply. Not valid on services. Discount applied in-store only. Before tax, shipping, and handling. Cannot be combined with coupons.
This year is your year, even if you also said that in 2022. And however you want to make a splash, Mother Nature can help you every step of the way with Wool Runner Mizzles from Allbirds. Wool Runner Mizzles are shoes made from premium, supernatural, weather-repellent materials. So you can jump into this year with both feet, rain or shine. The high-top uppers are made from temperature-regulating, moisture-wicking merino wool treated with durable puddle guard technology to keep you dry and comfy. And you can take confident strides with supernatural rubber treads that grip for all-condition traction and sugarcane-based sweet foam midsoles that put a little bounce in each step. Allbirds is constantly innovating to increase the performance and longevity of their earth-friendly materials. So even on your toughest outings, you'll wear out before your shoes do. This year, make a splash without worrying about getting your feet wet with Wool Runner Mizzles from Allbirds. Discover your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.